Welcome to the Steroids Podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Boom! Boom! Let's get started here. The Steroids Podcast is brought to you by Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Now, for the first time in bodybuilding history, you have someone with no corporate interests and no obligation to please anyone, not walking on eggshells to not offend. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the information, the whole truth, not a full truth and a half truth, full truth. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the keys to the Lamborghini, gives you the information, and lets you decide what to do with it. It's a crime this information has been suppressed this long. Now let's get on with the podcast.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Bodybuilding Podcast. Dan here. Dan from Thailand. I've got a ton of questions today, so I'm going to try to rapid fire them off. And some of the questions are longer too. So this podcast might be a little bit different than others. And reminder that I do two training services. If you guys want to get in touch with me, if you like the podcast and you want more in-depth personal help, I do the 1 hour phone call consultations and I do the 1 month bodybuilding text messaging training, daily text message with me, training. And with that, you can text me as many times as you want every day and any kind of bodybuilding related questions you have, help you need, training, diet, cycle, side effects, looking at blood work, any kind of stuff you need, you know, I'm there for you. And I'll get back to all your questions within 24 hours or less. You don't have to wait for me to respond before sending me more questions. So that's that. And then the other one is the 1 hour phone call consultation, which is a similar thing. Whatever help you need, you know, we can get on the phone and have a 1 hour talk, and you can ask me any questions you need, any kind of in-depth help you need for your bodybuilding, training, diet, using roids, side effects, blood work, how to fix it, stuff like your libido's shot, and you've been trying stuff, trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong and can't resolve it, PCT stuff, you know, whatever kind of like complicated stuff, you know, that is like personal and you need personalized help, I'm there for you. And I don't charge like high prices for this kind of stuff because, again, it's the same thing like with the book. You know, the book, it's $19 for the book, Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand, which is the best bodybuilding book that's ever been written. And that's not an exaggeration. That is true. That's a fact. It is the best bodybuilding book that has ever been written, and the reviews on it are so five-star, you know, like everybody that gets it is like, wow, that was the best $19 investment I've ever made in my life. No joke, that is what people say, all of them. And then the same thing with this training, you know, the 1 hour phone call consultations, $59 for the hour, the 1 month text message based training, $99 for the month. And the reason why I price them so low like that is because I'm trying to help out everybody that needs help, you know. And with those kind of prices, it's like, well, if you can afford to use gear, you know, obviously you can afford to do training with me and be able to, you know, it's about the same cost as it would, you know, if you can buy a vial of gear to know how to use it and get specialized help with me. And the reason why I do that is so that everybody in the world can access me. You know, I've got people listening to the podcast from third world countries, from first world countries, from second world countries. And the reason with the book, the phone calls, the texting, the reason why it's the price as it is because I'm trying to do something different here. My whole style with everything that I'm doing, it's not to rip you guys off. It's not to take. It's like I'm trying to do something that's like in the spirit of the internet, which is like freedom of information. That's the true spirit of the internet, is to like give information for free. And then, you know, like help everybody out, let everybody have access to all the information and make up their own decisions about it. That's like the spirit of the internet. And so with my thing, you know, traditionally bodybuilding has not been that way. You know, it's been like this kind of thing where it's like, you gotta, you know, everybody's kind of trying to screw you. Everybody's kind of trying to keep secrets. You know, if you do get, you know, the right kind of help, you know, you might, you know, pay like literally an arm or a leg for it. And they still might be keeping secrets from you and stuff like that. I don't like that. And I've been there. I've been in your guys' situation. You know, when I've been in this game for almost a couple decades now. And, you know, I went through the whole thing with the forums. I went through the whole thing with, you know, after thinking I knew everything about steroids before starting using them, then starting using them and realizing that I knew nothing, which, you know, that's the way it is. And then, you know, experimenting on my own body and having tons of clients. So, I mean, now I've got so much information in my head, you know. I get funny comments, you know, from people sometimes saying like, oh, you're a modern day Dan Duchesne, or you're the Alex Jones of the fitness industry, which crack me up. But those, I actually really like those. Those are like big compliments. When I hear that, I'm like, fuck yeah. I enjoy those. I enjoy those comments. So, yeah, the first thing I wanted to talk about today was one guy who does training with me. Asked a question and asked if it could be on the podcast. So he has been using orals not consistently. So like using Anavar and Anadrol like 2 days a week or 3 days a week. And he was asking like, is that just as good as using it every day? And should I use it on days that I don't work out? And so what's the main people who are using the orals that way are powerlifters, not taking them every day. And so they're kind of using them for a training effect, which they do have some training effect. And there's also an immediate action. Like when you take an oral steroid within, you know, a period of like 2 hours to 8 hours or however long, you know, the half-life of that steroid is, it has an effect and it increases the accumulation of dietary proteins during that time. Okay. But as far as like seeing the characteristic effects of that steroid and getting what you want to get out of it, you've got to be sending the message to your DNA at least once per 24 hours, because these oral steroids aren't esterified. So they're in and out of your system. And the way that steroids act is by going into your DNA and having your DNA start expressing more of the proteins or more of the information that is associated with masculinity or masculine effects. So it exaggerates the masculinizing portion of your DNA. And so that's how steroids transmit. That's how they transmit their information. They attach to an androgen receptor, which then transmits a message to the nucleus, the DNA of the cell, to emphasize those parts of the DNA and to express them more. Okay. So that's one reason why if you want to get really good effects out of orals, you got to take it every day. And this is like an anecdotal thing too that I see. And then it's another in other people. And then it's a thing that I've experienced in my own body for sure. And just the fact that you've got to be sending the message every day, it doesn't really work the way you want it to use it like a couple days per week. I mean, you're talking like using it like 2 or 3 days a week. You're talking about maybe getting like 25% of the effects that you would from taking it like every day. And just a completely different thing going on. Okay. And then the other thing is like, should you take them on days that you're not training? And the answer is absolutely, man, because you guys got to remember that you're not growing when you're in the gym, okay? And when you're in the gym, you're creating the stimulus for muscles to grow later. So if you think like, okay, I'm only going to be on steroids when I'm in the gym, or I only want to have high steroid levels in the gym. Well, what is that even doing? Because when you're in the gym, you're not growing muscle. You're actually breaking the muscle down. You're getting like slightly less muscle while you're in the gym. You know, you're damaging it. And then later it grows. So on the day after you train, you have a rest day and it's like, do I want to be anabolic on this rest day? Should I take my oral steroid? The answer is like a very emphatic yes, because that is when you're actually growing muscle. You're actually getting bigger and you need to have maximum accumulation of dietary proteins. And also the carbohydrates that you're eating need to be partitioned to the right places. Okay, so absolutely, if your thing is bodybuilding, if your thing is not powerlifting, where you're primarily just looking for a training effect, but you're actually looking for a, you know, muscle growth, muscle tissue effect, taking them every day versus taking them only on training days or like 3 days a week is such a massive day and night difference in effectiveness. All right. Okay. So let's get on to the next question. This is kind of a long one. Jeff asks, hey, Dan, you've helped me before. Quick question for the podcast. Ran a cycle of 350 milligrams testosterone propionate plus Dianabol 30 milligrams a day for a little under 12 weeks. Got enormous strength gains and incredible recovery. Goal wasn't to get huge, but just to put on a bit of size. My only issue was my body only looked marginally better. Definitely better on the gear, a bit fuller, etc., but just a little noticeable, you know? I've always been super lean and blessed with 10 years of slowly developed mature muscle tissue through sports and competitive weight training. But I'd like to up the ante a bit. I was wondering if something like 500 testosterone cypionate and 200 milligrams pharmaceutical grade primobolan and 6 to 10 IUs of growth hormone a week would do the trick. Get a little bit bigger and some more definition. Let me know if this sounds like a good cycle for those goals. He wants to get a bit more 3D Jeff Cavalier style, but Athlete X, but not trying to blow up bodybuilder style as I still do sports. I know in your ebook, Ultimate Guide to Roids, you say Primo works best at 700 to 1,000 a week. So do you think 200 a week for 12 weeks is enough for my goals? And then he says, also wondering about my provider on HGH. Is somatropin 191 amino acids 150 IU kit reputable? All right. So that's the question. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is the somatropin. Okay. So a lot of guys will ask me, is somatropin pharmaceutical grade growth hormone? So what pharmaceutical grade growth hormone and somatropin, there's no difference. Okay. Somatropin is the chemical name for growth hormone. Okay. Growth hormone is like a name and then, or a way to describe the chemical somatropin. Okay. Somatropin is the chemical growth hormone. So when you see something and it says somatropin, that just means growth hormone. It's another word for the same thing. Okay. And if somebody is, you know, looking at somatropin, that definitely doesn't mean that it's pharmaceutical grade. Okay. Actually, it means that it's probably not pharmaceutical grade, if that's the only thing it says on the box. Because anybody who is selling somatropin and it's pharmaceutical grade is obviously going to have a brand name too. So like Genotropin pens by Pfizer, that's somatropin, brand name Genotropin. Or Novo Nordisk Norditropin pens, which is somatropin, but the brand name for the somatropin is Norditropin. Or Omnitrope cartridges by Sandoz. Or, you know, what have you. There's a good growth hormone out of Iran, too, called Sinotropin. And while that one is 192 amino acids, so it's not bioidentical, it still works damn good. And it's very high quality. And for guys that are looking for, ones, you know, because pharmaceutical grade growth hormone is pretty expensive, you know. And so normally the Iranian made one, Sinatropin, is, you know, not bioidentical, but it is pharmaceutical grade growth hormone and it works damn good. And normally that's probably like the cheapest growth hormone on the market that really works good. Okay. So that's, you know, your growth hormone that you're talking about is generic. The HGH, somatropin 191 amino acids. Okay. So it's not pharmaceutical grade. And this guy who asked the question, and, so what does non-pharmaceutical grade growth hormone typically do? Okay. Well, it typically helps you get bigger and it helps you get stronger. Okay. And it typically has all the side effects of pharmaceutical grade growth hormone as well, except the side effects of generic growth hormone are more intense. Okay. And then the fat burning properties of generic growth hormone are not very intense, or a lot of times not much at all. And that's a stark contrast to pharmaceutical grade growth hormone, because the first thing that you notice from pharmaceutical grade growth hormone, other than the second day or the third day that you take it, you're all of a sudden bigger. That's the first thing you notice. And then within 1 week to 2 weeks, you notice, without changing your diet, wow, fat on my stomach magically disappeared without changing my diet. Okay. So potent fat loss effects on pharmaceutical grade growth hormone. And typically generic growth hormone is a far cry from that in the fat loss effects, but the generic growth hormone does definitely help with size and strength acquisition. And that would be like typical. It would be weird to get a generic growth hormone that didn't at least do that. You know, then it would be like completely, totally bunk. But it's not like generic growth hormone is just like injecting water. There's stuff in it, you know, like peptides and shit. Like who knows what is in it, you know? And also for the guys that have, you know, because there's this thing about like, oh, well, testing. It's been tested and it's overdosed. You'll hear that a lot. The generic that I've used, it's been tested and it's overdosed. Bro, just to let you know, okay, for those guys, okay, I have used growth hormone that was generic that was tested at 13 IUs per 10 IU vial, okay? And I experimented with this. It was very stupid what I was doing, okay? But I wanted to really see what it would do. And you know what? Taking a couple vials of that per day, it wasn't doing what I wanted to do. So I really upped it. And I took 44 IUs of generic growth hormone per day that was tested at overdosed 13 IUs per 10 IU vial, okay? And that stuff, you know what that stuff did? It made my feet hurt like a bitch. And I could barely even walk to the gym. It made my hands hurt. It made me have so much water, the most water retention I've ever had in my body in my life. And it helped me get stronger. It definitely did, but not a huge amount. And it also helped me get bigger. But, you know, I kind of looked like shit because I had so much water on my body. And it definitely did not help me lose any fat, okay? And so that was at 44 IUs per day of tested growth hormone that was tested, overdosed, not just regular dosed and not just 100% legit chemical mass spectrometry testing, but overdosed. And okay, I took 44 IUs a day, okay? Just so that like everybody that's saying like, oh, well, you know, Dan doesn't know how the growth hormone, the generic growth hormone is now, you know, it's different now. No, I do know, bro. I do know. It's actually, it's, I've been there. I've done that. And I got no reason for saying anything but the truth. Okay. So it's like, did I use a shitload of generic growth hormone before I said never again? Yes, I did. And was it tested that it was real and that it was overdosed? Yes, I did. And did I use generic growth hormone from many different brands and it was all similar experience? Yes, I did. And was pharmaceutical grade growth hormone freaking awesome? And the effects at low dosages, 3 IUs per day, superior to the tested 44 IU per day generic growth hormone? Yes, the pharmaceutical grade pens that I used at 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 8. I even used them up to like 11 I use per day. And, you know, with Genotropin one time, you know, I even experimented for a couple weeks at 18 I use per day. Okay. So Pfizer Genotropin. Okay. So, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. You know, the pharmaceutical grade growth hormone kicks the generic growth hormone's ass, but it's not like the generic growth hormone is totally worthless and does nothing. It's just water. That's not true either. Okay. So it's not as good as pharmaceutical grade growth hormone, and to get the effects, like, it's the best analogy that I can tell you is musicians. Okay. So if you want to, you know, be a professional musician, you got to use the professional instruments. So you can't be like, you know, there's two versions of like a Fender Stratocaster. You know, there's the Squire Strat, the Squire Fender Stratocaster that's for like entry level people, and it's cheap and it's shitty and it goes out of tune, but it still looks like a Fender Stratocaster exactly. And it still plays, but it just doesn't sound the same as the pros. Okay. If you want to sound like the pros, you got to upgrade and you got to get a real Fender brand Stratocaster. Okay. You can use this other shit to fool around on, but you're not going to be, you know, having this pro sound, this pro results. Okay. And because you're not using the same shit that the pros are using, okay? So it's the same thing with this, okay? You can fool around with the generic growth hormone. You can fool around with it. And you can get, you know, things can go good. It can help, okay? But if you want to look like the pros, if you want to get the effects that the pros are getting, if you want to have, you know, you want to have it be like a fucking Lamborghini and you're not putting shitty oil in it, okay? You're putting only the premium stuff in it, okay? If that's how you treat your body, well, it's pharmaceutical grade growth hormone. That's just the way it is. I know it's a bitter pill to swallow. It's a bitter pill to swallow. All right. So, you know, he wants to look like Jeff Cavalier, but 350 milligrams testosterone propionate and Dianabol 30 milligrams a day for 12 weeks didn't give the right results. And he says he's already super shredded. Bro, your gear was probably bunk. Like, you know, taking D-ball 30 milligrams per day is no joke. Okay. This is one of the hormones that works at low dosages and works potent. Okay. You said you got a little bit of fullness improvement. That's not the way it is. Okay. So, you know, maybe your testosterone was real, but it sounds like your D-ball was bunk. And, it, you know, even though D-ball isn't like some kind of exotic chemical and stuff, dude, you run across like bunk D-ball or like bunk Winstrol. You know, it's not like only Anavar that is bunk, okay? So, like, it's not like something that is impossible or something. It's actually like you run across it. I've taken bunk D-ball not only once, multiple times. I've got bunk D-ball and taken it. That sucks, and I hate that. But, you know, that's the way it goes. So, you know, if you took 30 milligrams of D-ball per day and only got a little bit of fullness, that doesn't make sense, man. But then again, you said you got enormous strength gains and incredible recovery. Like, how can, if you got enormous strength gains, I mean, I'm guessing that for working sets, you're working with 50 more pounds on your bench press. And if you did that for 12 weeks, how could you not increase in size? That's not the way it works. So there's something missing here. You know, something's not right. I'm reading your question and something is not right. Okay. So you know, for athletes and for somebody who's trying to look like Jeff Cavalier, okay, Dianabol is not the right hormone. You know, Winstrol, Anavar, Primobolan, those are the right hormones. The test prop, the dosage that you're taking is the right dosage. And then with the growth hormone, you know, doing like 3 IUs per day or 4 IUs per day of pharmaceutical grade growth hormone is going to go a long way for you, especially if you add thyroxine T4 200 micrograms, okay? All right, spent a lot of time on that one. Let's get on to the next question. Grant asks, I'm going to start my first cycle, 500 tests a week. I have AI, 2 Pfizer growth hormone pens, Genotropin, and Anavar. I need to get some PCT stuff, so I'll figure out before I actually start. Only big thing I have a question on is needles. Is it better to backfill syringes or swap out the needle size? Syringes and PCT are the only things I don't have yet. Okay, yeah. So one thing is with the injections is, you know, it's a fad and it's like appealing to do steroid injections with insulin syringes. Okay. And so let me just tell you that if you don't do deep intramuscular injections, you will build up calcium deposits on the fascia of your muscle. So guys will notice after they've been taking gear for a long time that their common injection spots are kind of lumpy. And you might even have had like a few bad shots that actually like creates a lump of like hard, rocky feeling tissue right under your skin. And it's like a bump, and that's there for life. And that's because of doing shallow injections where the oil leaked out and caused a big irritation in the fascia, the area between the muscle and the subcutaneous fat skin tissue, okay? And then the body filled this area in with like a hard substance. And MMA fighters will get this same substance like on their legs from kicking. Wherever their leg was kicking over and over again and making contact over and over again, if you touch their legs in those spots, it feels like armor. It's not like normal tissue. It's not skin. It's not muscle. There's an armor between the skin and the muscle, a hard armor. And this is what gets produced when you do shallow intramuscular steroid injections. So don't ever inject less than half an inch, okay? That is the absolute minimum that you can safely take steroid injections, okay? But it is strongly preferred to use 1-inch long needles. That's the perfect length for steroid injections, okay? 1 inch. And you know, the gauge of the needle, you know, the smaller the number, the less comfortable it's going to be, but the easier the oil is going to flow through. And the higher the number, the more comfortable it's going to be, but the more of a bitch it's going to be to get the oil to flow through that syringe out of the needle into your body. And so, you know, if you use like a 27G needle and you got like thick oil and you're taking a shot, it could be something like you're sitting there for like more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes with your hand dying from putting pressure on that plunger, and you cannot get that stuff into your body out of the barrel. But, you know, maybe if you used, you know, a 20 gauge needle, you know, you could get that whole process done in 15 seconds. So you got to find which gauge works for you. And it's like the best mix of comfort and practicality. All right. I'll do anything between 21 to 24. That's my preference. 1 inch gauges on that. And so anyways, insulin syringes, not preferred, okay? But if you've got an insulin syringe with a changeable needle and, you know, you can put a bigger needle on that, so it's not one of these tiny insulin syringe needles that are going to give you this armor under your skin. You know, if you haven't been doing it for a long time, maybe you don't have that yet. And again, you're saying like, Dan, what are you saying? I've been doing that. I don't got any problems. Good for you, man. Good for you, okay? You keep on doing it, you're probably going to get some problems, okay? Wait another 5 years. All right. Next question. Danny asks, I recently sent you an email asking you to give your opinion on Turinabol, as I hadn't heard you talk much about it on your podcast. After that, I heard you talk about it in an early episode. Typical. If I was to take 600 milligrams test enanthate for 12 to 16 weeks, how much T-ball would you recommend? I heard you speak on how oral should be done at a low dose for a longer period as to maximize muscle growth while on them. You were talking about D-ball. Is this the same for T-ball? Thank you very much. You're a true servant to the community. Okay, so the reason why I'm not big on T-ball is because T-ball's special thing was being an androgenic steroid and reasonably anabolic that avoided detection times. So until like 2014, 2016, I can't remember what exactly the year was, but it was recently. There was no test that could detect T-ball metabolites more than 3 days after stopping. So basically up until 5 years ago, you could take T-ball up until 3 days before a test in any pro sports league, and they could not bust you as long as you stopped that before 3 days before the test. So that was the incredible feature of this roid, was the metabolites being undetectable. But finally, they discovered the metabolites, okay? So T-ball was invented by the East Germans, Soviets, in order to be able to pass testing. That was the reason why it was invented, okay? So in practicality, though, it's kind of a shitty steroid in comparison to other things. Like, Winstrol is way better. And Anavar is better, too. And Tarinabol is pretty fucking toxic. So it's just, like, not that good. And so when you have these other alternatives that are better, it's like, why use that stuff, you know? Like if you notice, there's not a lot of advanced bodybuilders who ever talk about, like, Tarinabol and, like, oh, I just love Tarinabol. And, you know, that's an essential part of my physique. It's not. You know, it's mainly a sports medicine. And now I think it can be tested. I think it can be detected like 14 to 20 days after the last tablet, somewhere around there. That's the current detection time of Tarinabol. So, you know, what are dosages of Tarinabol that are effective? 40 to 80 milligrams a day. That's effective Tarinabol dosages. And it has like some fat burning properties, mild fat burning properties. It has some decent strength gaining properties and a bit of a mass gain property as well. And then it has a pretty powerful mental effect. It's fairly androgenic. So the mental effect and like the drive or the resting adrenaline increase would be like arguably the principal effect from Tarinabol, or the thing that it is most emphasized about it, right? But as far as like anabolic effects, growth effects, you're going to get better results out of Winstrol. Like, hands down, like, way better results out of Winstrol. Winstrol is really underrated as an anabolic, okay? That shit is anabolic as fuck. And so many pros use Winstrol, okay? A lot of people have built muscle tissue on Winstrol. You know, they talk about it. You hear a lot of shit on the internet. A lot of people are talking shit about Winstrol on the internet. Don't listen to that. Use it yourself, okay? And use it when you're not dieting, okay? And see what that does for you, okay? Because this stuff is a serious muscle builder. And, you know, another thing as far as like Anavar versus Winstrol, Winstrol kicks Anavar's ass, okay? Kicks its ass, okay? Winstrol is some serious shit. Injection Winstrol and oral Winstrol. They both rock. All right, next question. Nuclear Power Plant asks, hope you are doing well, Dan the Man. I have two questions for your next podcast. I want to run test prop 200 milligrams and ramp up to 500 for my first cycle. And forums say it's not less estrogenic compared to test E and more painful to inject, not worth it compared to test E. Is it true? I'm ready to man up the pain. Do you think it will be okay? Test P for first cycle. Yeah. So the forums, again, the forums is like going to those things is just like filling your mind with shit. I did it for years. Okay. Until I realized, oh my God, I've filled my mind with shit and I have to relearn everything. Okay. So test prop is way different than test enanthate. And just for the record, any faster acting versions of steroids are always stronger milligram per milligram and always more potent in feeling it effects than long ester steroids. Okay. So this is the same thing with any drug, man. The how fast it hits your system, how high the peak is. Okay, the peak blood level and how fast the hormone or the substance, whatever you're doing, blows its load, okay? And, you know, the speed that it hits your brain and that peak level, okay? It completely changes the characteristics of the drug, okay? If you take testosterone propionate, it is nothing like taking testosterone enanthate, okay? It's a different drug, okay? They're both testosterone, yes. But because of the speed of which testosterone propionate hits you, the effect is not the same. All right. So as far as like feeling awesome and feeling energy and feeling like you're on gear and having a sickening pump in the gym, okay? Test Prop kicks Test E's ass. It kicks its ass. Like again, this is one of these things where these guys who are like, no, it's the same or something. It's like, bro, you've never used it. You've never used it, or yours was bunk. You know what you're probably doing is you're probably somebody who's never even used steroids, and you're just reading things on the internet, on forums, and then repeating it like a parrot. You just read something, and now you go on forums and repeat like a parrot the things that you read, okay? That's what a lot of these forums is people who have never used roids, or they've used a little bit of roids, and they don't know shit, behaving like they're parrots. Parrot. So as far as Test P, yeah, there's definitely a benefit to it over Test E. And the main one is that you feel it, okay? 1 or 2 hours after taking a testosterone propionate shot, 100 milligrams per day is really the like kick-ass dosage, but 50 milligrams per day will work too. It feels like you drank like a triple or quadruple espresso, man. It feels awesome. It feels awesome. Okay, so yeah, Test Prop is some great shit. And it's like, you know, you've got to have like Test E as like, you know, because you've got to, so Test Prop is a better bodybuilding testosterone than Test E, but it's hard to get like a ton into your body. And, you know, having like a base testosterone level that is like high all the time from Test E is definitely a worthy thing to have. And then like spiking the testosterone levels on top of that with testosterone propionate, you know, really works good, which is kind of like the whole thing that Sustanon, like that, that's what Sustanon is trying to do, you know, a mix of fast and long esters. And, you know, Sustanon kicks ass. But again, the problem is that a lot of times Sustanon hurts, okay? So that's because these are complicated hormones to manufacture, okay? This is not like easy stuff, like the other stuff that these UGLs are making. So I've used a lot of pharmaceutical grade testosterone propionate, and testosterone propionate pharmaceutical grade is always 50 milligrams per milliliter. And you know what? It never hurts, ever, never, never hurts. No pip, zero. Okay. Same thing with pharmaceutical grade Sustanon. Okay. 250 milligrams per milliliter, no pip, zero. You can take 5 milliliters at one time, no pip, zero. Okay. All right. So these are more complicated stuff, you know, like for example, Sustanon, they've got 4 different esters in the oil and each one has a different melting point. So it's not, it's complex. It's complicated, you know, no, not just any amateur can make this real good. So that's why you guys are getting like pain and shit, or, you know, taking steroids where it's like there's more milligrams in it and it's like super potent, the monster juice. And it's not like, you know, like pharmaceutical grade medicine, or at least if it's a UGL trying to be like pharmaceutical grade medicine. But no, they're trying to make it like a recreational thing, like monster juice, Hulk 101 serum. And then you're like, oh, this hurts my health and it hurts to take it. No shit. Okay. you don't treat this stuff like it's some like kind of play, like it's toys. Okay. Cause it's not, it is medicine. And you want to, if you're using UGL gear, which I've used tons of awesome UGL gear. Okay. Don't get me wrong that UGL gear is shit, because it's not. I've used UGO gear that is as good as pharma grade. I have, but it's rare. It's rare, but I've used it. And so UGO gear can seriously kick ass, but that's not, you know, it's not always going to be like that. Okay. But you know, I've taken both pharmaceutical and UGL. I've taken shit UGL gear. I've taken bunk UGL gear. I've taken average UGL gear. I've taken kick-ass UGL gear, okay? And the kick-ass UGL gear is about the same as PharmaGrid. You know, there's really no detectable effects. And that goes for stuff like Anavar, Primobolan, Halotestin too, okay? So when you get a good UGL and that UGL really kicks ass, you know, you don't have these problems like, oh my God, I took a shot of testosterone propionate and now I can't walk for the next week. Okay. That's not high quality stuff. All right. Okay. Next part of your question. I want to add another anabolic for cosmetics. I'm thinking of primobolan 200 to 300 milligrams or masteron propionate with Anavar 20 to 40 milligrams. If I can't find Primo, can Masteron and Anavar replace Primo? Yeah. And Anavar is pretty Primo. Like Anavar and Primobolan do very similar things to your physique. So like, you know, Masteron, people aren't going to be really like super thrilled with Masteron. Okay. I know that there's like hype with Masteron and stuff. Okay. But let me just tell you right now that the main reason why people like to use Masteron is because it makes them have like a freakish libido. Okay. So like, if you see people who are like really into Masteron and stuff, and it's like, they may be saying like, oh, it's for what it does to my body or whatever, but no, it's really just because they like to be like so horny. Okay. It's awkward stuff to talk about. I'm the only one who's going to tell you. I'm the only one. Okay. Cause I just don't give a shit. Okay. Why lie? Why tell a bunch of stupid stuff? Okay. Because people got huge egos. Okay. I kind of killed my ego with mushrooms when I was in university. I got a hold of some magic mushrooms and I ate a lot of them and like listened to the Beatles. And I did that for like, I was actually taking a Beatles class too during that time. And because I'd been learning about how the Beatles were on like a lot of psychedelics, I was like, okay, well, I got to like, you know, listen to their music on psychedelics and like, you know, this very historic band. So for a period of like 2 months, I took like maybe like once or twice a week, I took like some really high dosages of mushrooms, and that like shattered my ego, like it obliterated my ego. Okay. So that was one of the, it still affects me this day. It's been like 10 years since I used a mushroom. But because that happened, it did some things to me. Okay. Obviously this is my personality and it's not like, oh, mushrooms, like, so don't get me wrong and go out there and think like, oh, if mushrooms are so important or something. No. Okay. It's just part of the learning experience. It was a thing that I did that affected me. It made me see things from a different perspective and it made me have like an ego death so that, you know, I was able to see outside of myself and shit. And a lot of people need ego deaths. And I've seen bodybuilders take mushrooms and have total meltdowns because bodybuilders have a lot, you know, so high ego. That's one of the things with bodybuilding and taking a lot of drugs and stuff to like pump up your body is it really creates a high ego. And that's one of the reasons too, like why, you know, you don't want to be approaching like a bunch of girls when you're a bodybuilder in public with the chance of getting rejected is because like you're taking a bunch of drugs and like, you know, building up this ego like really big. And so like the more that you do that, the more you just kind of sit there and like want girls to come over to you and you don't want to like go over to them because you've got to protect like this massive ego that you've been building up. It's just part of it. It's part of, you know, pumping yourself up with stuff and getting big and being a bodybuilder is that you want to like protect that ego or image that you're building. So I understand. I've told you guys before, I've got a psychology degree, you know, like, and it wasn't, you know, that it was formal training, but I pretty much, you know, taught myself, you know, the way I did with roids, bodybuilding and everything, you know, but I did do formal training as well. Okay. I understand you, Mr. Bodybuilder. So that's shit. Let me finish. Nuclear power plant. He says, your answer is highly appreciated. By the way, read your book, Ultimate Guide to Roids. It's the real deal, man. Thanks, Nuclear Power Plant. Love your name. Okay, next question. Red Wizard asks, hey, Dan, love your podcast, buddy. Been listening to it for a year straight. I have a question. I'm natty, working out, and dieting for 8 years. I need your advice for first cycle. I am very determined, man. I did reach crazy body fat levels as natural and believed in those fake natties for a long time. Me too, dude. Especially Matt Ogus. Matt Ogus had me. I even hired Matt Ogus as coach, okay? And when that failed, I went on gear immediately, okay? That was the last straw. Hiring Matt Ogus as coach and it not delivering me Matt Ogus's body. So then I was like, okay, that's it. I have to take steroids. Okay, so Red Wizard, he believed in those fake natties for a long time. Now he knows drugs are the missing link. I want to look like those aesthetic guys, but I'm skinny, dude, so I need to build a base of muscle before cutting. I'm thinking of running test prop 250 to 400 and NPP, nandrolone phenylpropionate, 300 to 400 for my first cycle. I will add NPP to the cycle with Masteron after 3 to 4 weeks on test alone. What would be the estrogen prolactin management you recommend? Well, a little bit of anastrozole and a little bit of cabergoline. And the dosages with these things, okay, so don't dose the cabergoline higher than 0.5 milligrams three times per week, okay? That's a top out cabergoline dosage for bodybuilding, okay? And then with the, so I'm not telling you that that's the amount you should take. I'm telling you that that is the maximum you should take. And if you do have to take more than that, lower your dose of prolactin forming hormones, okay? And do not take more cabergoline than that. I'm telling you that that's the limit. Okay, with the anti-estrogen, this is so personal from guy to guy. I can't tell you this is how much testosterone you take. And with this amount of testosterone you take, this is the amount of AI you take, okay? Anybody who tells you that they can do that for you doesn't know what they're talking about. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about, okay? So you, if somebody says that, let's right away, you can be like, oh, you don't have experience. Or like, you don't know how to, you know, manage AI. You know, maybe you do have experience and you're good at some stuff, but as far as AI, no, you don't know, bro. Because that's not how it works. And I know guys who can take and who are taking 5,000 milligrams of testosterone per week, and they take no AI, and they have no bloating, and they have no estrogenic side effects, and no gyno. And I know other guys who are taking 500 milligrams of testosterone per week, and they have to take more than 1 milligram of anastrozole Arimidex every single day, or else they will get massive gyno instantaneously. Okay, so this is the most variable genetic component of steroid use, okay, is the estrogen management. So I can't tell you that, okay? But if you want to do a phone call with me or get on the daily text messaging program, I can help you figure out the exact amount of estrogen management that you need to have the highest libido, the highest quality of life, and feeling awesome. I've got a method, man. I am the king of managing estrogen and making it, you know, I've worked with hundreds, no, thousands of people and made them feel the best they've ever felt on steroids by helping them with my kick-ass estrogen management that is totally individual. It is totally individual. All right. He also asks, will I see any side effects? I'm a university student, so I have to be functioning. Should I do this cycle or jump straight to tren or run something more conservative? Thank you. Appreciate your podcast. Greetings from England. Okay, you're going to be okay. You know, test prop, NPP, that's not going to make you not be able to function in university. And I know it's scary starting steroids. I started steroids when I was in university too. And my first cycle started with testosterone, but then it became testosterone and trenbolone, and then it became testosterone, trenbolone, D-ball, and then it became testosterone, trenbolone, D-ball, Winstrol, and then it became testosterone, trenbolone, D-ball, Winstrol, Masteron. And then I was adding T3, and then I was adding thenbuterol. You know, once you get into this shit, man, once you get into this shit, like, you get into this shit. Yeah, you know, some people not, you know, other people more, but you know, the first cycle, usually, it depends on the person. It depends on the person. But, you know, did I have side effects? Yes. Did I have any catastrophic side effects? No. Did I have libido issues? Sometimes. And I had to troubleshoot them and luckily I did know a lot about steroids, but you know, not enough. And I, you know, that was tough managing side effects. My first cycle, definitely had side effects. But your, you know, testosterone plus NPP, if I had to add something to your cycle, and you know, you say you're a skinny dude and you need a base of muscle before cutting, you want to look like aesthetics guys, bro, if you add 50 to 100 milligrams of Anadrol per day into the cycle, man, it's going to be a huge difference for you. That's going to be a huge difference in getting you to where you want to be, okay? And just let you know too, okay, here's another thing, is that you've got to prioritize heavy lifting, okay? If you want to be building muscle, I know this is another like really bitter pill to swallow for guys who are like, you know, having trouble with this, okay? And this is a hard thing to do, and you may have to train in a way that you don't like to train, okay? But I'm going to give you the correct information. Plant the seed, and then you can do whatever you want to do, okay? And then when it doesn't work, then you can come back to this information. That is the right information. That is the right way to do it, the way that works. And if you know, you ever have the feelings, to have, you know, all the things going right for you, and have your training going right, and have your diet going right, and have your steroids going right, and then have explosive growth and fat loss all at the same time, then you can do this information, okay? But in the meantime, if you don't want to do it, because this is a really bitter pill to swallow, that you've got to get stronger in order to build muscle tissue that lasts after your cycle, and you can build on that tissue cycle to cycle. Very bitter pill, because getting strong is hard. It's hard. Whether you're on steroids or whether you're off of steroids, and you got to train in a specific way. You can't just go to the gym and say, I'm going to get a pump and feel good. I want to feel good and do what I want to do in the gym because I like going here and I want to have fun. And then you know, like when hardcore trainers, you know, or, you know, when we go to the gym and we see that, and then we see everybody that like looks like everybody else, and it's like we're laughing, you know, it's like we know what is required. We know what is required to, and then we see everybody not doing it, but you know, thinking like, oh, well, they know, you know, it's funny. Like a lot of times, like I'll train with people. It's the way that I am when I train with people I respect. I want to do their workout because I want to learn their methods. You know, people that I respect, I want to learn their methods, and I want to know what they do and why it works for them. Okay. But a thing, and this cracks me up, you know, if when I train with guys who are like, you know, not advanced, right. But, and then we're like training together, and it's like, obviously I could help them a lot. You know, if they would like, you know, like work out and like do my program with me or whatever, you know. And again, I don't have an ego about this, you know, cause I'll throw my program out, you know, to train other guys' programs that I respect if I'm training with them. Okay. But so I don't have an ego about this or something, but, I'll be training with these guys who are like way not advanced. Right. And they'll be like very ornery and like very stubborn about wanting to do things their way with their training and not wanting to do things. And it's like, bro, I can see you like I can see you not making gains. Like there's nothing I can do except for laugh. Cause it's like, well, if you ever want to learn, you know, cause you're kind of doing this thing that like all the other people in the gym are doing, you know, like the common advice. And then you look in the common gyms all over the world. And what does it look like? Everyone looks the same. Okay, they all are at a certain area, all are at a certain plateau, and they don't know how to progress. Okay, the common way to diet, the common wisdom to diet, okay, the way that they say, this is the way that works, and this is the mainstream advice. It doesn't work, okay? It doesn't work. And that's why when you go to the gym and you see the people and how they look like, and it's like, oh, they don't look totally huge, muscular, and shredded, okay? Because they were following the mainstream advice, and that advice doesn't work. It's wrong. Okay. And so it's the same thing with the training. Okay. And it's also the same thing with how to use steroids. The entire mainstream advice about how to do bodybuilding is wrong. Okay. And so if you want to go to the gym tomorrow and look at the people there. Okay. And like, it's like not a lot of people like look crazy. Okay. But there are sometimes some crazy looking people, and usually they're not doing what everybody else in the gym is doing. Usually they've got their own thing going on and they're doing something different. Okay. But the majority of the people in the gym are following the mainstream advice. And the majority of the people that go to the gym do not have the results that, you know, serious people about the gym want to have. Okay. It doesn't work. It's wrong. The mainstream advice about diet, the mainstream advice about training, and the mainstream advice about steroid use is wrong. So I just got to tell you that so that you know, But I think that if you do your cycle, England guy, Red Wizard, if you do your cycle, you add some Anadrol in there, and man, prioritize your strength, man. If you're doing bench press, two plates for 10 reps right now, man, make sure when you are done with that cycle that you can do 275 pounds for 10 reps, okay? Make sure, okay, if you want to make gains that you can build on from cycle to cycle. Next question. Rodriguez asks, Dan, on the next podcast, can you talk about stacking orals? I think you have before, but I can't remember the exact episode. There's an episode called stacking orals or mixing orals or something. It's that episode. I'm thinking Winstrol and Anavar, 25 milligrams each. Thanks. Yeah, I like that. I like 25, 30 milligrams of Anavar and Winstrol stack. That's a great stack. And so the thing is that not all the steroids have like megadose characteristics. Like you can't just pump them up indefinitely and get like indefinitely better effects. There are a few ones that do work like that though, like DECA and like testosterone, where it's like, it's a very like incremental, like the more you take, the bigger you get. And people's dosage is very highly correlated with their body size. Okay. But again, don't mistake me to say that that's all you've got to do is take a bunch and then you're going to get big. No. If your diet and your training, you got to have all three going on at the same time. And if you don't, then it's not going to do fuck all. Okay. To take a bunch of testosterone or take a bunch of DECA, you know, super high dose, it's not going to do shit. You have to have all three going at the same time or else the whole thing is just a big fucking baño. I've been living in South America for the past, it's been like 8 months now. I'm here right now, you know? And so they don't speak any English, you know? So I speak Spanish only here when I'm going in my daily life. So I've got like all of the Spanish words, you know, flowing through my head. And so a couple of them came out in the podcast today. But, you know, stacking orals works incredible. And what I wanted to say was that rather than on a lot of these hormones, you know, there are the megadose hormones that do work for megadosing. Okay. But a lot of the hormones don't really work good for megadosing. Okay. And so it's more effective to take more of the different hormones in those cases. So this is one of those cases, you know, with the stacking orals, is because you're hitting different metabolic pathways with each hormone that you add to your stack and increasing your ability to accumulate dietary proteins into your body as muscle tissue. And so let me tell you, my favorite and the most extreme total freak show oral stack is Superdrol, Winstrol, and Anadrol stacked, okay? It's nuts. It's nuts. It's the most freak show motherfucker to stack those three, okay? And it's very bad for your health, okay? But am I gonna, you know, not say that it makes you look like a freak show because it's bad for your health? No, you're an adult. You're an adult. So I'm just gonna tell you the way it is, okay? Stacking orals is a very potent way to do things. And just stacking more and more steroids, types of steroids in general, at lower doses rather than, you know, like jacking up steroids that are like not so many, but like in really high doses, with the exception of like testosterone and DECA and kind of trenbolone too. And also D-ball. It's like with a lot of these roids, it's better to like take threshold dosages of many different types at the same time, you know, like, and some people might say like, oh, well, that's like so hardcore or insane stacking orals. Well, no, it's not. What if you only took 10 milligrams of five different types? You took five different orals and you took 10 milligrams of each per day. Now you're at 50 milligrams of orals per day. And you're like, oh, well, that's so insane stacking orals. Well, what the fuck? It's only 50 milligrams of orals per day. Like, how is that so much different than taking 50 milligrams of fucking D-ball per day, which people are like, oh, well, that's like freaking normal. That's been normal on the internet for a long ass time. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. Will asks, I'm 19. I want to run something, but I don't know what. I know you aren't into SARMs. And do you think a mild steroid cycle is smarter? Yes, because it's not a research chemical. It's something that has been around for decades and had tons of medical research done on it and long-term testing and is approved for human use rather than some research chemical that's not even approved for human use. You have no idea what that's doing to you. What if it gives you cancer? There's no long-term studies. You don't know. So of course it's smarter to do a mild steroid cycle. And he asks, would I be able to recover my test levels after? And I know I'm young, but either way, I'm going to run something. I need your advice. Yeah. So you don't need to tell me this about like, you know, you're young and you think maybe I'm going to scold you. No, you're an adult. You're a man. You can make your own decisions. You're young, but you're going to do what you want to do and you can make your own decisions. I'm not going to scold you or tell you, no, don't do it. That's your business. So if you're going to take something, yeah. Take something. That's your thing. That's your thing. And I'm sick of these people who think that they can be a moral police on you and tell you what to do. It's your life, not mine. All right. So he says, thanks for the podcasts and message and knowledge you're bringing to this generation. Thanks. All right. So if he was going to say, well, like what would work good, you know, what will make him happy? Again, it's like, what's an easy thing he could take? An easy thing he could take would be 250 or 500 milligrams testosterone enanthate per week, and then to stack that with like 50 to 100 milligrams of Anadrol or 30 milligrams of D-ball or 50 milligrams of Winstrol. Okay, that's like a really awesome first cycle that will give sickening results that you're looking for. Okay, sickening. All right, next question. Brody asks, hey Dan, been following and loving your stuff for years now. I just listened to your most recent episode on training theory and it hit home. I am literally the guy who has gotten larger and put on size over the years with gear. However, I am super, super weak bodybuilder and I'm sick of it. I feel it's hindering major gains I could be making. It is. Because you know, for one thing, when people are like arguing about like, oh, well, you don't need to be a powerlifter to do bodybuilding. This is bodybuilding, not powerlifting. Oh, okay, so if you're doing reps and volume with heavier weights and you're doing like 10 sets of 10 reps with fucking 350 pounds for bench press, you don't think that's going to make you bigger than doing 10 sets of 10 reps with 200 pounds on bench press? Think! Do people actually think? This stuff blows my mind, man. So he says, you mentioned going back and trying the basic 5x5 program. I'll give that and some other basics a try, but do you have any other programs, et cetera, that could help me through this major plateau? Okay. Yeah, I do. You know, so I the ones that I recommend are Mark Ripto starting strength and variations of that. And then Mad Cow 5x5 and Strong Lift 5x5. Any of those programs is going to, dude, when I work with guys, like with the training that I do, you know, I encounter a lot of steroid users that have no strength. Okay. And they have the same strength levels as like natty guys in the gym. And, you know, they've been taking steroids and they're not experiencing the gains that they want and they're sick of it. And so they come to me for advice, for help. Okay. And I will put them on a variation of Mark Ripto's starting strength. And these are guys who have been, you know, lifting for 5 years, 7 years, et cetera, using roids for a long time. And I will consistently get these guys going up 100 pounds in weight for their working sets on squats for in 8 to 12 weeks. That's the gains, the strength gains that they will go from using 200 pounds to using 315 pounds on squat. Or, you know, 300 pounds to 400 pounds on squat. And they will make these gains in 8 to 12 weeks working with me. Okay. And so this is typical. This is not like, oh, it's like one guy. It's like, no, this is like so many guys that I work with. Okay. This is the typical result that we get. Okay. So it's actually not as hard as you guys think it is to, you know, like make these strength gains that are going to make your bodybuilding just like, you know, your bodybuilding gains, you know, go through the freaking roof. You know, it's going to make them go through the roof if you can just figure out or learn what it takes and how to actually train, okay? And powerlifters know how to train, okay? And so it's like, do you have to do powerlifting programs and only you're going to be training powerlifting? No, but we might put like a strength exercise in your program at the beginning of each workout, right? One exercise, and then the rest can be pump training, okay? Or we might put you on a strength block of training where for the next 9 to 12 weeks, you're working on strength. And then after that, you work more on volume, okay? But we're gonna work on your strength, okay? Because that's part of bodybuilding, is getting stronger. It's not part of bodybuilding to get stronger, okay? It's not part of bodybuilding to be lifting 155 pounds or 185 pounds on bench press for the next 5 years, okay? And not improve it. That's not part of bodybuilding, okay? So if you don't have the ability to do that, and you've been trying and you've been thinking this is impossible, nothing I do will work. Okay, well, if you will get with someone who knows how to program it and can work with you from week to week and program your lifts, or you can run one of these basic beginner programs and start learning training theory, you can make the gains. The gains can be made, they will be made, and they will shock you, and they'll be fast, and they'll be in your face once you learn or have someone help you to train in the proper way to make the gains. It's not impossible the way that you believe it is. It's very possible and it's fast. Okay, next question. Let's look at here for a second. Okay, Alex asks, good day. I'm new to steroids, about to do a cycle, but I'm unsure of what to purchase. My friend does Anavar, but another friend says, don't take it, take Winstrol. I would go with what your friend says. You know, we kind of went over that earlier. He says he's a smaller frame guy, 5'5", 160 pounds, 50 years old with some belly fat, looking at add muscle and shred a little. What's your advice? I think a cycle like 500 milligrams of test with 50 milligrams of Winstrol or 30 milligrams of Winstrol plus 30 milligrams of Anavar would work good for what you want. You know, I think you're on the right track. Next question. Pato asks, question for the podcast. Would injecting testosterone into my penis make it bigger? I heard you talk about spot injections making the muscle bigger over time. Could I get the muscle building benefits from the testosterone while also getting a larger dick? I've talked about this before. Using steroids to make your dick bigger is like so ineffective, dude. Like, it does make your dick grow a tiny bit over like a long period of time, like 5 to 10 years. You can get like, you know, your dick like half an inch longer or like a quarter inch longer, like from using steroids and growth hormone and like, you know, like being on them like all the fucking time for like 5 to 10 years, you know, like consistently, like you're like fucking abusing hormones, like it'll grow a little bit. Okay. But that is like so inefficient, dude. You know, hang some weights from it, okay? Hang some weights from it. Or like use one of those like extender things or something, or like one of those pumps. Okay. It's such a more direct and effective way at making your dick bigger than using steroids, okay? And just for the record, no, it will not make your dick bigger to inject testosterone into it, okay? Okay, so the dick, it's not a muscle, okay? It's not a muscle. It's cavernous tissue. It's more closely related to the circulatory system rather than it is like skeletal muscle. It is not skeletal muscle. Okay? So it doesn't grow from like working out muscle like the way it's not the way, but you know that shit, like as far as like stretching it or something like that or hanging weights from it, that does work, okay? And that's been being used for thousands of years by humans. You know, there's people, there's like tribes and shit who still like stretch that shit, hang weights from that shit. And if you look it up, you can look up pictures of this shit. It fucking works. It's always been being used. Like, what is tissue traction anyways? Like, you know, they do this with like wound healing and stuff too, is tissue traction, where they put, to regenerate tissue, when the person doesn't have enough tissue, they'll put traction or tension on that tissue over a long period of time. And over months, the body will generate more tissue. You know, even you look at somebody's ears, you know, some people have these gauges in their ears, and over a period of months, of years, they keep on putting a little bit more, and this continued tension on the tissue, and the tissue grows. And then, you know, they take it out 10 years later and they've got this freaking huge earlobe there that wasn't like that before. It wasn't grown there before, but they actually grew this giant earlobe. It's not just stretched, it grew, okay? It has more tissue because of this constant tension, okay? Constant tension over a long period of time. So the same principle applies with your penis. All right, next, Nate asks, Dan, after more than 30 years of lifting, I'm 48. I have arthritis in my knees, arthritis and bursitis in my shoulders, on and off tendonitis in my elbows, despite massage therapy, active release techniques, physical therapy, and other treatments. I have daily chronic pain that has made my training both unenjoyable and hard to make progress for the last first 3 years. Are there any PEDs that can help with pain relief so I can continue doing what I love and make progress? I've gained fat, lost strength and muscle in the last 2.5 years, despite trying to train through these issues with good nutrition and supplementation. Okay, so there's definitely some stuff that can help. As far as arthritis, man, there is a medication called meloxicam that is seriously effective at 15 milligrams a day. It can be oral or it can be injected. And meloxicam is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, but the effects are like as strong as like a cortisone shot, man. Like, I don't know why. This is another one of these things that these Western medicine people just will not talk about, and give you some bullshit instead that like fucks up your health and tears your tendons, like these cortisone shots, okay? When there's meloxicam out here, because meloxicam is the real deal, and it gives insane relief to arthritis, insane anti-inflammation effects, unbelievable anti-inflammation effects, okay? The injection at the same dosage as the oral is 3 times stronger than the oral, okay? And 15 milligrams per day is the normal dosage on that. And then, you know, another way to deal with pain is kratom, okay? Southeast Asian herb, comes from a tree. It's the leaves ground up into a powder, and you eat that powder, and it provides powerful pain relief that over-the-counter pain relievers cannot compare, not even close. And a lot of prescription, you know, very high quality kratom, even prescription painkillers, you know, the kratom can compete with that. Okay. So, you know, kratom is sold over the counter. You can get that at smoke shops. You can get that at gas stations. It's also sold online. You know, I know that about the United States. I don't know about other places though. Okay. And so as far as like, you know, you got arthritis and you got chronic pain, well, meloxicam and kratom, those two together could make a big difference in your life. And then as far as PEDs, DECA, long-acting DECA, 200 milligrams per week, increases synovial fluid or lubrication in your joints. And you know what? NPP, short-acting DECA, doesn't, okay? It's only the long-acting DECA that does this. And the dosage to make it happen is 200 milligrams per week, okay? So There, you got three things that can help you. And one thing, one more thing too, because you said nutrition and supplementation. High dose turmeric, okay? 3 to 5 grams of turmeric per day for the anti-inflammation effects, okay? That's the most effective anti-inflammation supplement. Next question, Jimmy Jam asks, hey Dan, we have chatted before. I've enjoyed your book, Ultimate Guide to Roids, and I'm looking forward to the second one. I've done Trend 3 times, twice E and now A. Every time I get random nosebleeds. Is this common when using that compound? I'm taking 350 milligrams per week and 60 milligrams of Anavar per day. I can't find much info on nosebleeds with Trend. You're really the only one I trust with getting this info from. Thanks, Stan. Jim. Yeah, man, I have the same problem. Because, you know, Trend causes a serious increase in resting adrenaline, and fucking your nervous system is so jacked up on that shit. And so what happens is your arteries that are pumping the blood out from your heart constrict because of that adrenaline, that resting adrenaline. And so what you've got a situation of is you've got, you know, your arteries and veins are pipes, and a hard pipe that has a same amount of liquid flowing through it as a soft, stretchy pipe, the pressure inside the hard pipe is going to be a lot harder. And so that's what's happening with your veins and arteries when you're on Trenbolone. And so the pressure inside your blood pressure is going up, okay? And so you get stuff on Trend like headaches and nosebleeds. Happens on other highly androgenic stuff like D-ball and Anadrol too, okay? That really increased your resting adrenaline. All right, so you get these nosebleeds, you get these headaches, and that's because you got a high blood pressure. You got a high blood pressure, and you know, these are hormones that are not healthy. They're not healthy. And let me tell you a supplement that works though to relieve blood pressure. Okay, beetroot powder. Beetroot powder is no joke. That shit works to relieve blood pressure. Okay, next question. Max asked, question for the podcast. Would you recommend Halo or Superjaw for the last 2 weeks before a bodybuilding show? So halotestin is a good drug, okay? Halotestin is an effective drug, okay? But there is nothing on this planet that has the power of Superjaw, okay? There is nothing on this planet that can change your body radically in as fast of a time as Superjaw. So, and that includes Trenbolone. And so, you know, taking Superjaw, it has the drying effects of Trenbolone. It has the fat burning effects of Trenbolone. It has the strength promoting effects of Trenbolone. It has the mass building effects of Trenbolone, but it's stronger in all those qualities, okay? It also has the serious kidney toxicity issues of Trenbolone. And it has this, and it has, you know, far greater liver toxicity effects than Trenbolone does, you know. So Superjaw is a very toxic oral steroid. It is not like the other oral steroids. It is a total league of its own as far as toxicity goes, okay? So that's the drawback on it. And what do I think would be better before a bodybuilding show, halotestin or Superjaw? Superjaw, bro. Like I said, there's nothing on earth like Superjaw. Superjaw is the shit. Reason why people don't use it is because, or it's not like super popular, is because it was a pro hormone until 2007, sold OTC. But, and because of that, people think like, oh, well, it's not going to be that strong. But actually, it was invented by Syntax in the 1960s at the same time that they were developing Anadrol, okay? And they brought Anadrol to market, and they didn't bring Superjaw to market because Superjaw was stronger, yes, but it had an unfavorable toxicity profile. And so, you know, for medicine, they want to bring out drugs that are lower in toxicity and have a reasonable effect, okay? So they had several different drugs, and they're going to choose one to bring out as a medicine, mass produce. And as far as medicine, Anadrol won and Superjaw lost because of the unfavorable toxicity effects of Superjaw. But Superjaw is, you know, way stronger than Anadrol. And that's, it was a steroid developed with Anadrol in the 1960s. And then because as far as like listing, you know, what is an illegal steroid and what is not, you know, it was just, you know, it's like specific substances. And so there was all these loopholes for, you know, people used to go back and look at, you know, old research on steroids and find steroids that, like weren't listed on the scheduling. And then they would bring them to market as pro hormones. And it would be like a loophole in the law because they weren't specifically listed there. And then, you know, the legal people would like go back and update and add those hormones to it. And so now, you know, like all those pro hormones and all those designer steroids and everything, most of them are all added to the scheduling. And so it, don't think that like Superdrol is like not strong because it used to be a pro hormone or anything. It is damn strong. Okay. And it was developed with Anadrol and it's more powerful than Anadrol. And the only reason it wasn't brought to market as a more powerful agent than like all this other shit is because it's fucking toxic. All right, Matt, last question for today. Ricardo asked, I have a question for the podcast. Testeca Equipoise works wonderfully for me as a combo for the AI qualities of Equipoise, which is very real. Equipoise has metabolites that are suicidal aromatase inhibitors that compare with exemestane, okay? What would happen if we switched Deca for Trestolone? I've heard is a much more potent anabolic. That's true. Trestolone or Ment, milligram per milligram, is as powerful as Trenbolone at building muscle. However, Trestolone has an incredible estrogen producing component to it. So you can kind of think of Trestolone as like a mix of Trenbolone and D-ball. That's the kind of look that you get out of it. That's the kind of effect that you get out of it. And it's super strong. It's super incredible, amazing for building muscle, building strength, etc., for bulking. And so you say, what would happen if you switched out Deca for Trestolone? You're going to get, it's going to add firepower to your cycle. I don't really like, you know, when people say like switching out, that's not really, you know, like it, are you going to get more firepower out of Trestolone than Deca? Yes. But is Deca like more sustainable and used at higher dosages for long-term? Yes. Okay. But are you going to, if you switch it out for Trestolone, are you going to get like more of a short-term bang and big gains? Yes. If you guys need help with 1 hour phone call consultation with me or 1 month daily text message training with me, send me an email at steroidspodcast@gmail.com. And that's steroidspodcast@gmail.com. Steroids podcast, okay? STEROIDS podcast, not steroid podcast. steroidspodcast@gmail.com. All right, so that's going to be the last question for the podcast today. It's fun talking to you guys, and I'll be coming up with another episode for you guys real soon here. So make sure to go pick up Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. You know, if you just go to bodybuilderinthailand.com, it's I think it's the first article on the homepage where you can check it out and read like 20 pages. It's definitely worth it. It's my best content. You know, if you like the podcast, the book will blow you away.